Today's Mishnah in Masechet Machshirim, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is Machshirim Perek Vav Mishnah Gimel. So what we've been talking about is the dinim of things that are for sale in a shuk, in a supermarket, and in a home. And the difference is between what you have to assume is the status of the things that you're buying in terms of Tumah, unless, of course, you are a member of our very special Hechsher, available for your store by dialing 1-800, and you know the number. Of course, we'll discuss the price with you later. But if you don't have our special Badatz Hechsher, then we talked about what kind of things you got to worry about. And now let's talk about the eggs that you're buying in your supermarket. Well, the eggs are actually assumed not to be Mukhshar Lekabel Tumah, because in those days they didn't wash the eggs, and therefore there was no reason to assume that they would have been wet. Now, the only time that that's not true is if you've got people that are selling mashke in the same store. So over there, if the guy is also mixing milkshakes, which contain chalav, which is one of the shiva mashkin, or if they are selling water, that was a more modern idea to sell water, but what can you do, you know?
How about the New York egg cream?
I don't know what that is, but if it had, sounds like it has chalav in it. But if they're selling any of the mashkins, let's say they're selling the, they're selling some honey there. So this guy is dispensing mashkin, and because of that, he is actually not going, what does he care if he gets the eggs wet? So then he'll go over to the egg fridge and he'll take eggs out with his wet hands. And because of that, we have to assume that it was touched by the shoppers, and some of the shoppers are tameh. Therefore, we're going to have to assume that it's tameh. Now, if that same supermarket actually is selling dried fruits together with the other things, the eggs, then he can't afford to get those dried fruit wet with his filthy hands that are touching the other things, and it shows up right away on dried fruit, so he always dries off his hands before he touches the eggs. So, then the eggs are considered to be not mukhshar lekabel tumah, because he doesn't want to dirty his beautiful dried fruits. Therefore, his hands are always dried after he dispenses the milkshakes. Okay, now, what about the fish? Now let's move on to the fish counter. Are the fish considered? Now you think, fish, don't they live in water? So why aren't they mukhshar lekabel tumah? But remember, the water that the fish are in is not mukhshar lekabel tumah. I mean, first of all, they're alive. So when you're bringing the fish in a bucket of water, something that's alive cannot be mekabel tumah. They're only going to become roi for kabbalas tumah when they become food. So in the college town where they swallow the goldfish alive, maybe over there you'd have to worry about even there. We have to discuss that later. But the fish are not considered to be food until they are not live fish, but fillet fish. So at that point, they certainly were not made wet in a way that was mukhshar lekabel tumah. Now the question is, after these fish were actually harvested and they're still wet, do you have to worry about their being wet after they're already in the marketplace? So kol hadagim are considered to be b'cheskas tumah, because basically you're happy that the fish, the faster that the fish dry, the faster they spoil. So therefore, the seller is going to be perfectly happy for that water to remain on the fish after it's already food. And at that point, it was makshir to be mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it depends what kind of fish. Now, there are those kind of fish that actually live for quite some time, and they are alive and are allowed to get dried out. And any water that was on them, this is the way the Rav explains it, they actually are dried out. And so by the time that it had died and became a din of eichlin, it was no longer wet. But that's only certain types of fish with very soft skin, which includes the iltit, which is a type of fish, the dug hamitzri, ababa kupa, and also if you buy a frozen box of this Egyptian dug, which is bought filleted, and the culis hispanin, which is a fish that you buy in Spain. Many people tine its sole with a thin, very thin skin, and they survive for quite some time. They get dried, because the water on them was dried out, and because of that, they're not considered to be mukshar lekabel tuma. What about seer? Now, remember in those days that seer was a very important ingredient of stuff, and that was the salted juice, the brine, that comes out of the fish, because the salt, of course, changes the, it will draw out the brine. So because of that, it's normally the seer of dogim is not one of the mashkim that are mashirin. So therefore, it's not going to be mitame, but usually you don't take straight out seer. You mix it with the rove of mayim, and it's sold as a mix of mayim and seer, which is actually going to be mekabo tuma. So on the other hand, if it's, we know for a fact that it's mostly seer, will not be mekabo tuma. Okay, that's how the Bartanura understands it. We'll see, it's about focus later on. So the Chachomim, remember, in general, do not treat an Amaretz as a Neman in the Inyanim of Tuma V'Taira, right? It's okay, they're not Nezara Tuma V'Taira. Can't ask them some questions about whether something is Tomei, something is Tar, or something is Moksha, but you can ask them about whether it ever got wet. That has nothing to do. That's a professional question. I want to know whether this thing was sprinkled with water, or whether the water that's on it was just remnants and was from before, and not interested in it. So those kind of questions you can ask, because al kulan, an ama aretz is nema to say it was never muksha. He can't really say it's tar in terms of tumah v'taira, but he could say, no, we're very careful not to allow water to get on our dry fruits and on our eggs and so on. Okay, that's a reasonable statement to make. It's like you would ask him, is there any food coloring? Why shouldn't we believe in Amon Aretz about whether there's food coloring? Is that the same nemanus as anybody else? It's only the Takona Benogea Tuma V'Taira directly that we said. He can't tell you whether something is Tomei V'Taira. Now, the one place where we don't believe him is if you're talking about fish, because there he's lying. All the fish, we know for a fact that they are wet, and that the person is happy that they're wet, and except for the cases that we had about the eel teeth and so on, then for sure we have to assume that they were moksha lekabel tuma, and therefore if he says it's tar, so then once it was moksha, he's not believed, and he's saying that it's tar. We don't believe in Amaretz to say that it's tar, and I'll prove it to you. The bottom line is that all the people I know, even if they're talmidei chachamim, they give those kind of things. They'll bring eggs into a neighbor who's an Ama Aretz, and they'll say, could you put my eggs in your fridge, please? How could they allow an Ama Aretz to take their eggs? And what happens if the Tumas Ama Aretz is going to be metame the eggs because it got wet? We don't care about that. He said it didn't get wet. So then why wouldn't we allow him to say, if he's a merchandiser, but it didn't get wet? It's exactly the same case. Now, Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov says, you're wrong about the idea of tzir being mitmachshir lekabel tuma only if it's rove mayim. That's not true. Tzir tahor, once mayim of any amount, nafal letocha mayim kol shein, any amount of water is enough to allow the tzir to be mekabel tuma, and therefore it would be tame. We don't go according to the rove. We just take a look and see if there's water in it. Perek Vav Mishnah Dalet. Do we have time? We keep going, right? Yeah, yeah, because this is a fast mission. So even for David Solomon limitations here, we're okay. Shiva Mashkinim. So remember, there are seven Mashkin. According to most Shitas, this means there's seven Mashkin that are able to be Mafshir LeKabel Tumah, but it also means that these are the Mashkin that are Mekabel Tumah themselves. There is a sheet of the Raiva that holds that it's only a din in Mafshir, and it's not a din in Kabbalah's Tumah, all Mashkin or Mekabel Tumah. Okay, but we're assuming here that the Shiva Mashkin, which include Tal, Mayim, Yayin, Shemen, Dam, Chalav, and Dvash Dvorim, which is why I like the simon of Yad, Dam, Shachat, and not the way people usually say it, because if you say Yad, Dam, Shachat, you have the Dalet and the Dalet next to each other, and therefore one Dalet means Dam, and one Dalet means Dvash, but Dalet, Dalet means Dvash Dvorim, so that you remember we're not talking about the, which is very common, to find the liquid that comes from fruit trees or dates that would not be considered to be one of the mashkin, even though it's called dvash. Okay? Now, what about dvash of other organisms that make dvash? Now, there are wasps that make honey too, and taste similar to bee honey. They use it for the same purposes of feeding their young. And that is nonetheless not considered. It's only the Dvash Dvorim. Why is it only the Dvash Dvorim? Because basically, it's true that we take a look and find places in the Torah where things are called Mashkin. But in reality, those seem to be only Esmachtos. The point is that any Mashkin that does not have a Shem Levi is considered to be a mashka. That's the real issue. So mayim, tal, cholav, and dvash, stam dvash, people always use in their nomenclature as being the dvash of dvarim. Otherwise, they say what type of dvash it is. So therefore, if the dvash of tziraim, which are wasps, it's not marketed as just plain honey. It's marketed as wasp honey. And so there are honey wasps, but you have to say what it is. So therefore, it is, even though it's mutter b'achila for the same reason that dvash dvorim is mutter b'achila, which is it's not considered to be a product of the bee. The bee is the producer, but the production comes by the direct taking of nectar and concentrating it into honey, but the bee does not exude honey as its own body fluid, and therefore it's not called Hagokola Yotse Minatome Tame, and that's true of a wasp. Those wasps that make honey essentially make it the same way that bees make it, and therefore it's not called Hayotse Minatome, and because of that, although it's Mutter Bachila, that doesn't mean that it's Mekabel Tumah, because it is a Shem Levi. Marvelous.